Okay, Perek Chafei Pasuk Vav. Pasuk says, "Al tishadal lefnei melech uvemukayim gedolim al tamo." Do not glorify yourself before a king, and in the place of gedolim al tamo, do not stand in the place of great people. I'll read the next pasuk. Yitoyv amalach. Why? Why the pasuk goes the next pasuk really is to be read with this pasuk. The reason why you person should not stand in the presence of great people, because toiv amar lucha alei, it's better to stand in the back, and they should tell you alei, ascend. Toiv amar lucha alei, then heina alei heina, ascend over here, kama mehash pilchol lifnei nadiv. Better than them tell you to lower yourself, to descend before the nadiv, the prince, the honored person. Asher ru'inecha, you yourself have seen, have experienced this in your own lifetime. In other words, better sit in the back, and they should call and say, come up to the front, than to sit in the front and to say, excuse me, can you please go sit in the back and make room for someone more important than you? Okay, so a person should never overestimate his greatness. Okay, let's see these pasukim again. One slowly. Let's see the mitzvahs. Pasuk Chavav, Pasuk Vav again. Perek Chafei, Pasuk Vav. Al tisadar, al tas atzmcha hodor v'yofel lehiskos kasher. Do the person should not make himself hodor v'yofel glorious lehiskos to praise himself, kasher tamo lufnei hamelech, like a person stands before a king. Make yourself choshen. The person should not think that he's a very great person and stand before the king. Ve'al titchik atzvo lam b'mokam shagdolim chashuv mo'edim shom. And don't push yourself to stand in the place where the gedolim and the chashuvim stand. The person should never promote himself. A person should never toot his own horn. It's not a good thing to make yourself into something that you are not, or to put yourself in a place that you don't belong. It's always strange. Some people, they have a need for this. Certain people have a need to wear these Hamburgs, to wear certain types of dress. I never really understood the need.
Change the whole Sephardis.
The Sephardis with black hats. They wear B'nai Torah. They wear like B'nai Torah. I'm talking about there are certain people who are not Rabbanim. The stand of B'nai Torah wears a dark suit and a black hat. I don't think there's anything special about that.
White shirt,
a dark suit and a black hat. With a tie. Okay, so I don't think there's anything special. That's like very run of the mill. But it's always like, why there are certain people, they're not Rabbanim, they're not Askanim, so why do they come dressed in Hamburgs?
What? Only in Brooklyn. Outside they wear anything.
Only in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Why only in Brooklyn?
Even in Chicago now,
all over the world, it's human nation.
Spark has become more black cat than it used to be.
Is that Mr. Rogers' neighborhood?
Okay, whatever. The Paschal is giving us instruction. The person should never make himself, should not present himself to be what he is not. If he not, this is not what you are. What are you dressing up to be? And this better be told to ascend, to stand in the low place, and be told to ascend into, be told to be in the high place, and be told to descend. Okay, let's see the next Paschal Zion in the Mitzvahs Ki Toiv.
If this was not because it was above the common person, it was too difficult to comprehend, and it was written towards people that are coming to common.
Okay, thinking what we said yesterday, this section was not meant for the masses. This section was meant for the yechidim. And it's telling the yechidim, these choshva people, don't get carried away with yourself. Don't think that you're so special. Okay, pasuk vav, pasuk zayin in the mitzudos, ki toiv, yoyse toiv lucho l'sheves m'makim hashvalim. It's much better to sit in m'makim hashvalim. You go on the bus. I don't know how you go on the bus. I don't go on the bus at all anymore. I used to go on the bus every single day for a long time. And people, you can right away get smell out someone who does. Someone who's a newbie to the bus system. Anyone that sits down in the front seat when you walk on the bus obviously has not been on a bus. You don't sit in the front seat, that's for the zakenim. People can barely walk, you go to the back. So better, Yosef Lucholoshevis and Mokam Hashvam, better go sit in the back of the bus, the Ho'imer, and the driver will tell, come up to the front. Yom Lucha Alei Heina. come to the front. Lashavis makam hagadom, sit over here in the makam choshev. It's much better being in that situation, being in the situation where you person sits himself down in the front row. You ever go to a wedding and you sit in the front row of the wedding, and then all of a sudden they walk in some Rosh Hashivas and tell you, can you please get up and give this person your seat? Then elevate yourself to sit in an exalted place. And they'll tell you, please descend, because you're sitting in some in the rabbi's seat. Del teishev v'mekomo, do not sit in his seat. Okay, so this is these are dvarim pshutim ad ma'od. There must be something that's much more profound, because, I mean, obviously these are very simple matters. Sometimes we need to be reminded of the obvious. Let's see Rashi pasuk vav and zayin. Rashi al tishadul fnei melech laharos kevoidcha. A person should not attempt to show his honor ulis ghost lefnei melech and become arrogant in front of a king, olamor lefnei mi shegadol mimcha, or to stand in the presence of a person that's greater than you. Ki tov shiyom lecha, it's much better that you should be told to sit in the back and be told alei heina, ascend over here, mishetava below rishus, instead of entering into a situation where you are in a seat that you do not belong in. You enter there below rishus, v'yom lecha, they tell you tsay, they tell you to descend. Okay, so this is Pshat Rashi and the Mitzudos. Okay, there is a very interesting Medrash. The Medrash says that this pasuk is one of the sources as to explain why the Kohen Gadol does not wear the big day Zav Lefnai V'Lefnim on Yom HaKippurim. I think we're all brainwashed in believing the reason why the Kohen Gadol does not wear the big day Zav in the Kodesh HaKadoshim Ein Kategor Naseh Sanegar. Since Zav was used in last week's parasha as a means of worshipping the Egel HaZav, and it was done through Aaron. Okay, so on Yom Kippurim, when Aaron HaKohen goes lefnai v'lefnim, he does not wear the big day zohov. Ein kategor naseh sanegor. So we all assume that if we never worship the eagle, the rules would have been different. The Kohen Gadol would be allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim wearing the big day zohov. According to the Medrash, it could be, it's even more than a Medrash, it is, well, let me see, where did I see this? Here, it's in this sefer. was established. Okay, the mission was built, but the avoda of Yom Kippurim, the Seder avoda, could have been afterwards. But Enochlam the Ayin Panim Torah and the Aaron. The reason why it has nothing to do with the eagle is that when you go lefnai v'lefnim lefnei melech malchei hamlochim, don't pray, don't altis hadar, don't this pasuk vav, don't make yourself great. You go lefnai melech malchei hamlochim, you come in big day lavan. Don't come in as a superhero with the tzitz and the chayish and the eifod. Come into the Kodesh HaKadosh like an ordinary person. Kavoyed Elokim, here's the pasuk. Here it is, it's a Yerushalmi. Okay, it's Yerushalmi in Masech the Yom Adav Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel. Mibnei ma koin godol enoi mishamesh bebig day zohov on Yom HaKippurim. Omar Rebbe Simoin al Shem al Tishadar lifnei melech. Nothing to do with the Egel Hazav. Shocking Yerushalmi. Ask any child in Chayyim, they'll tell you it's because Ein Katei Nasanegon. Here we learn a whole different reason. Don't show off. It's not your place to show off in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So what's the purpose of having a big day so altogether?
When you're not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're mamish in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lefnai v'lefnim. It's a makam where even a malach is not allowed to go. That's a special makam. But when you're in this world, so then there's a time.
The kruvim and the aron are made out of gold.
So that's not a person. Those are kalim. Those are kalim. That's not the person. The person himself, when he presents himself, lefnei melech malchei hamlochim, the boss of the dam, should not present himself in this exalted, in a position of greatness. Okay. Yeah.
I don't like that shot particularly, because the Kohen Gadol goes in as a representative of the
Klal Yisrael
community. And also, on the other hand, they tell you when you go daven, you should go in like you would visit the king, put on a suit, put on a hat.
Respectable, but not to go where a person doesn't go before of a king wearing more expensive clothing than the king. You don't go in front of a king wearing a big day malchus. You have to humble. There's a time and place for everything. There's a time to dress yourself and to present. So you show me.
I hear what you're saying.
There's a time and place for everything. In Lefnayim Leftim Yom Kippur, when we mivakesh mechilas avoynos, the Yerushalmi says, Al tishadar lefnei melech. Don't exalt yourself in front of the king. One thing you learn from life is, kavod is a gift. It's not something that you can seek. The more a person seeks kavod, the more bezionos, the more he gets. It's a gift. People who are recipients of kavod, it's purely a gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yeah.
I just want to follow up on this a bit, Shmuel. If this had occurred even beforehand, it would have been worse had the Kohen Gadol started wearing Zohar, and then had to forfeit that. We had a forfeit that kavod, and it would have been a lot worse than not having it at all. So it could have been pre-ordained not here.
Okay, pasuk. Hey, next pasuk. Pasuk. I'm sorry. Pasuk ches. Al teitzei lariv maher, pen matase beacharisa behachlim oischariach. Before you enter into a fight, before you accuse, before you make accusations, you better make sure you get your story straight. Launch a full-fledged investigation, because if you accuse a person of a crime they did not commit, the shame you will experience for the false accusation, you'll never live it down. The end, your end.
Also the person.
Zion. Yeah, I did Zion. We did it together. We did Pasuk Vav and Zion together. I'll read it again. Al tishadar lefnei melech b'makom gedol ma'al tamid. Why? Ki toiv amol l'chalei. It's better that you should sit in the back and they should tell you, alei heina, ascend. Step up. It's better that a person should be called to a position of honor than mei hashpilcha, than take a position of honor without permission for yourself. And then you will be told, excuse me, sir, you're sitting in the rabbi's seats. Step down. Then you shall be lowered before the person who is truly the nadiv. And the pasuk includes very strange words. I didn't do those words in the mesudos. Those are very difficult words. End of the pasuk, asher ruinecha, basically means you've all seen this in your own life. I'm telling you the obvious. Shlomo HaMelech here, sometimes, we had this a few times, says, I'm not telling you chidush. I'm telling you until you learn Musar, and Musar, you know, it's obvious. You don't need to study books to tell you certain simple things. But however, sometimes we need to be reminded of the obvious. The Mesudah says, Asher ruinecha, Asher kein ruinecha, you've all seen this with your own eyes. Sheyikra lezos, it happens occasionally to this person, Asher oimim leha'oile ridei, they tell a person who has ascended, step down. You know, it's very embarrassing. This happens every so often when they call a person up to an aliyah, and there's someone in the audience who thinks they were calling him. And he comes up for the aliyah, and they say, no, it wasn't you. I was calling the other Chaim Shmerl, but then the Kloinim is Kalman. Just so happens, your name sounds the same. It was someone else I called. So it's embarrassing. I actually saw one shul, they called him a person, and he came forward, and he had exactly the same name. He had exactly the same name as another member. The Gabbai had Kavan for someone else. And he said, no, I'm sorry, I meant this other person, and it was a bit embarrassing. You know, I had this to me this past Shabbos. I daven Shabbos, I'm the Gabbai, sometimes Shabbos Mincha. I called, there was a certain person, it's a Kohen, very Chosher person, so I didn't know his name. So I called his son. I told him to come forward to get the name of his father. But it was very obvious. It was very obvious that he thought I was calling him. So I had Chalisha Sadas. I didn't mean to mislead him, to embarrass him. I was calling him, honestly, because I wanted him to tell me the name of his son. I should go over to the father, this hush of a person, and ask him, what's your name? Little kid. I asked him. He wasn't a little kid, whatever. He's like a teenager. But you never know. You have to be very careful when you tell a person to... this idea is that Asher Ruinech, it happens every so often, people tell someone to descend. You know, it's always very strange. You know, I daven a certain place, and they have all the Rosh Yeshiva special tables, special shtenders. special and just not their hurts for a visitor, a guest, to come and sit down on the table and sit in the chair and the shtender, even though these are not the rabbi, they're not the Rosh Hashiva, but these are ramen. You know, you have a yeshiva, you have five, six ramen. Every ramen has a special table, a special shtender. And every so often, it's always amazing, like, especially like Ben Hazmanim, there are people that come and they sit down. People, they come, they sit down at that table, and they sit down in that chair, and they sit down and they use the shtender. And like, don't you have any seichel? Don't you have any seichel? You come in, there's a room here, there are 95% of the tables look like this, and there are only five tables that are special size and have shtenders. Don't you realize this is a seat for someone that has a position in this institution? What are you sitting here for? How much seichel? I mean, but it's something that is so simple.
How do you tell them you're sitting?
You tell them very nicely, you're very polite. Or you don't tell them. Many times no one says anything. No one cares. So sit there, who cares?
You bring up a good issue. If you go to the Kaisel into the tunnel,
yeah.
Sometimes a whole Kehillah takes it over. You try to stand, go near the wall. They say, no, we're davening.
They have no right. What could even?
They do this, the Rebbe has his own shtender and no one stands on it.
So okay, you're right. You have to be very careful.
So you join them.
The Musar Haskell is know your place. Know your place in life. Don't go and chop covered. It's something that's so simple, but every so often we all get carried. We all feel that we are entitled. There are entitlements. You have to know your place where you don't belong. That's another issue. That's a person where a person legitimately has power, and then he's corrupt. He abuses power. But here we're discussing it's more fundamental where you don't have power, and you walk in, and all of a sudden you're the balabais. You're the boss. You're the balabas. Okay. I remember that this also sticks out of my mind. When a person comes to shul, there's a means, there was a balkari. The balkari, he was okay. Nothing special. Nothing special, and it was good enough. But he puts in a lot of work, like a young boy, he puts in a lot of work and time, and then walks into shul, a guest. He comes in, this pompous person with a big hat and a big coat, and he lives in the neighborhood, and he tells the gabbai, my son is coming in a few minutes, he's a balkari mumcha, and he's gonna lean. What a nerve! Just because your son is, there's a boy here who spends the whole week preparing whatever. What kind of business do you have? What kind of business? So you know, I was so shocked. That the gabbai told him no. I thought for sure this person. Of course. Like they're so insensitive. I was so impressed that at least the gabbai had enough seichel to say, "Excuse me, sir, we have here someone who lanes, and what business? What kind of business do you have?" But the Musar Haskell is Asherohu Einecha. We've all seen these type of situations in our life where people make from themselves what they are not. They are tishada lifnei melech. They stand in the place of gedolim, and they do what it says. And Shlomo HaMelech is telling us, don't be like those people. Better be in a position to sit in the back and be called to ascend than to stand in the front and be told to descend. Okay, now let's go to Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches, a new idea. Al teitzei lariv maher. Don't enter into a quarrel quickly. There are times in life when it's worthy, it's kedai, it's honorable, it is advised that a person should fight. He should fight and make a stink on the machlokes when there's something that's an avla that's being done in society. Go for it. But don't enter into a quarrel until you got your story straight, until you know exactly what you're doing. Because if you make false accusations, you accuse the wrong people, even though there may indeed be something wrong, but you have to know who to blame. If you start accusing the wrong people, then al teitzei lariv maher pen taseh b'acharisa, because what are you going to do? Pen pen, and I'm not exactly sure how to translate the word pen in this pasuk. We'll see them in some more detail. Pen, however, because matasep. Let's try to translate pen means because. Pen because matasep be'achavisa. What are you going to do at the end be'achlim oischa re'echa when your friend embarrasses you? I'll just tell you, I once had this experience not so long ago, and I got into a lot of trouble with. There was a person on our block that did not clean up after his dog, and he let the dog do whatever he wanted on the entire block, and I was positive I know who did it, and I accused him, and I was wrong. I was wrong, and boy, was it bizyonos, and did he react violently? And it was my fault. I was 100% guilty. I didn't do my homework. I was 99% sure, but you don't know. You got to be careful. Look what it says: when your friend will put you to shame for making false accusations. Let's see Do not provoke a quarrel quickly. Jump in. Add until, if you want to jump in, go for it. But add, asher tachkor, investigate. Im yesh bezeh dover ashma, if the person indeed is guilty. Al shekenegdcha, against your fellow. Kipen lo seda matase, because you may not know what to do. Be'achris hamariva, when the quarrel comes to an end. Be'es yachlim oscharyecha, when your friend puts you to shame. Loimar, when he says back to you, I'll prove to you that I'm innocent. You got the wrong guy. Hello, ain't Ashma Biyodi. I've not done anything wrong. Vihine his skalta aso, you have acted foolishly. Lihiskoitate ad loicha karto emes, by accusing a person, by accusing me before you made a full investigation and investigating what the truth is. Now, Pasuk test continues this theme. These two psukim go together. Many of these psukim and these prokim go together. Rather, riv chariv, make esrayecha. But this riv chariv means investigate. Make a thorough investigation and then present your arguments and quarrel with your friend. But there's one more thing you have to know. The sod acher al tigol. Even when you are 100% certain and you have the evidence, concrete evidence, that a person is guilty and you present your case, be very careful not to say more than absolutely necessary. When you accuse him, it's only between you and him. Don't bring his parents. Don't go bring in his grandparents. What do his grandparents and great-grandparents have to do with this person? Just because the person committed a crime is secret. So in this context, it means the way the emotional partial learns is an example. Emotional means don't blame, don't be mevazeh him more than necessary. Just focus on the facts. The way the Mitzvah will explain it is, let's say a person did a very bad idea, he's a ganav. So, oh, you're a ganav, just like your father's a ganav, and your grandfather, and your great-grandfather. It's in the family, the whole family, a bunch of Rasham, exactly, a bunch of Rasham. Don't overdo it. Just keep focused on what needs to be done. Let's see the Mitzvah's pasuk. Yeah. Okay, that's self understood. That's self understood. That's self explanatory. Of course, you have a chance of winning, and you know you will succeed, and you are absolutely certain that the person your arguments are correct. But now you have to also be careful not to go overboard, not to do more than what is exact, more than is necessary. Just stick to the case. Mitzudos pasuk test riv chariv af in matzasa by ashma. If indeed you have succeeded in finding guilt. After a thorough investigation, Nikol Makon, Rivrivcha, just stick to the case. Fight your case. Rak imo, only with him, levazos, also levad, to disgrace him alone, the person that you're arguing with. Avolo tigalis sod. Now, what's the secret here that we're referring to, according to the parish of the Mitzudos? Shel acher, of someone else, lahatl pigam ba'avoisov, in his forefathers, bedvodim she'inim yuduim lakov not. It may be true. What you're saying may be true. But the reason why we're calling this a secret is because no one knows about this information. It's not necessary. It's not important for the case, for this case. And then it's a secret, and there's no need to reveal it. sod shalacher lahatu pagam ba'avoyisam b'dvar m'shem yidum lakol ki malucho lohem l'vazoyisam. What business do you have disgracing someone that has nothing to do with this particular incident? Rashi, pasik. Pasuk Zayin, Asher Ruinecha, that's going back in the past, the previous Pasuk, Asher Ruinecha, Shadavar Zemes. You know that I'm telling you, going back to the previous idea, is that a person should rather sit in the back and be told to come forward than sit in the front and be told to descend. And the Pasuk includes Asher Ruinecha, you know Shadavar Zemes. Okay, Pasuk Ches, Pen Ma Taset, Pen Tavo Liyadi. Because if you do not thoroughly investigate your accusation and you make a false accusation, you're not going to know how to deal with it at the end when it is proven that you are wrong. Rivchar, Riv.
I'm referring to the number of times how you describe lying
or
saying put stuff out there without facts. And,
well, people will comment. People will comment on much worse. There may be people who write comments. Some of these blogs, they encourage comments, and the comments are totally outrageous, full of lies and sheker, and people just vent their own. They have their own agenda. They cause an enormous amount of damage. The bloggers cause damage. But the people who comment, they cause even more damage. Some blogs, it's becoming a very big issue with commenting, like in the style. If you're familiar with what's going on, a lot of bloggers, they're not allowing commenting anymore. Leaving commenting for social media. You want to comment? They have a special page, Facebook, Twitter, where everyone could post their comments, because that is already not accepted as being legitimate. And then there's one very popular website where they're experimenting, because if you want to comment, you have to pay.
Pay the comment.
Pay the comment. It seems like it's a very good idea. So if they have different subscriptions. If you feel like you're a real stalker commenter, you can subscribe for a whole year.
They still haven't accepted that you put your real name out there.
Depends. Some of them do, some of them don't.
They say, we want to know who you are, but you can use your pseudonym.
Anonymous. The anonymous people are the ones who cause the most harm. Okay, let's see over here what it says over here in the pasuk pen matase pen tabo with the rabbi. Sorry, pasuk. Yeah.
And both Rashi and the two his parents.
Right.
Does that mean that he can tell me, oh, you're not, everybody knows me, you're a Maritz? Or you already stolen the past?
No, it's just a marshal. I think Rashi and the Mitzvah is just giving examples. They're not. It's just one example of many. Don't fight. That's an example. Don't just stick to the case. Stick to keep your eye on the ball. Let's see it again. The Rashi pasuk. Of course. Pasuk tes rivcha riv eshriyacha the im al karchacha atot tzarch l'tzarch l'riv. If you have no choice but to make a quarrel, ulichich es im riyacha, and to fight with your friend mikol mokom, sod acher al tigol. Don't reveal the secrets of your friend. Lo saskuloi doifi avoisav shemesu sheena kol yoidim oso viata megaleu. That's the favorite type of insult. When a person insults someone, you always say, you're just like your father, you're just like your grandfather. He was a ganef, you're a ganef. That is something that's like below the hip.
Why did you say he's dead?
Because they can't fight back. It's easy for you to make such an accusation. No one's going to come and defend that person. The person is dead. If you go and you say the person was alive, you wouldn't have the chutzpah. The person was alive, you wouldn't have the chutzpah to go say you're a ganef and your father's a ganef. So the father will come beat you up, or come in the middle of the night and who knows what. But when the father is no longer alive and say you're a ganef and your father's a ganef, so who, the father's not going to come to punish you. So it's very easy to make such an accusation, because no one's going to come to fight for him.
It is true,
but it's not no one's business. It's not relevant. It's not relevant to the situation.
It's
not known, and you are making it through.
It's a secret, it's true.
So if something else, people know that he's an Amoritz or he's stolen last year.
But it's not relevant. I think it's the same idea. It's not relevant. If it's not relevant to the situation, to the quarrel, it's the same idea. The Sod Acher Altigum. Rashi and Mitzvot are focusing on the word Acher. Acher means another person. Another person, one other person, what other person would you want to bring into this quarrel? Obviously, the parent, because that's the derech kach darko shel olam. That's human nature. When you quarrel with someone, you insult them and you insult where they've come from, their upbringing, their yeshiva, their parents. People always like to do that. When someone makes a mistake, so they right away say, oh, that's right, it's the family, it's the yeshiva, it's the community, it's the whole way of life. That's the way it is. That is human nature. Human nature. And it says here, V'soid acher al tegol, keep your mouth shut, and don't bring other people into this issue. In tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov le'echta, human nature is human nature. People make mistakes across the spectrum. There's no difference. Chassidish, Litvish, modern. Everyone is in the same boat. We all know that. Dvarim pshutim. Okay, there's a very fascinating medrash. Medrash over here is a discussion between Yecheskel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yecheskel to tell Klal Yisrael that this medrash is to be found. It's even a Gemara. It's a Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Mem Dalit Amud Beis, I believe it's. I think it's there. The Gemara there. The Gemara quotes the pasuk. This very pasuk where Yecheskel says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rivcha Riv Esrei Echa V'Soid Acher Al Tegol. The one who's speaking in this pasuk is Yecheskel. And Yecheskel is speaking with chutzpah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are we referring to? I should not say, I'm not sure, I take that back, maybe referring to the Malach Michoel, I'm sorry. The Malach Michoel is speaking these words to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael, he said to them, Lech, this is a pasuk in Yecheskel, Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Gimel, Lech Emor Lohem Yisrael, Hashem says to Yecheskel, go tell Klal Yisrael, Avicha Emoiri V'imcha Chites. This is a shocking pasuk. Okay, this really is on top of the charts of shocking pasukim in Tanakh, where Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, you're a bunch of good for nothings. You're a Bali Avera, Averos, you're a sinners, you're good, and just like you're no good, you come from bad stock. Your forefathers are no good. Avraham, your father Avraham, he's an Emoiri. And your mother, Sari Imenu, she's a Chites. Okay, now that is the most insulting thing you can say to Klal Yisrael. First of all, we don't come from Chet, we don't come from Emori and Chet, because Emori and Chet are descendants of Chom, and we are descendants of Shem. The world was populated by three families, Shem, Chom, and Yefes. Klal Yisrael comes from Shem. The seven nations of Canaan, who are considered to be the worst of the worst, come from Chom. When Klal Yisrael sins, Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, what do I expect? What do I expect? You come from the Avos. You come from Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov. And who are the Avos? Avraham, he comes from Emoiri, and Sarah, your mother, comes from Ches. That's the most insulting thing you can possibly say. So when the Malach Michoel heard Hashem say this to Yecheskel, the Malach says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu this pasuk, Ribbono Shel Olam, how dare you talk like that? You got a problem with the children? You got a problem with Klal Yisrael? So you can give them Musar. But don't bring the Avos, don't bring them into the picture. Keep them out of this. Rivcha, fight Esreyecha. You can fight with Klal Yisrael, who are your friends. But V'soid Acher Al Tigol. Don't go and bring out the defects of Acher, of their ancestors, of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And in fact, the Midrash says, he's saying, what do I expect? If they're false accusations, so let me read you the exact words, because it's such a shocking, it's a shocking Mar Chazal. So again, the pasuk says, Al Teitzei, let me.
Worse than this pasuk.
suppose it's saying the truth.
The truth, and here it's saying something which is not even true. But I guess it means the midos. It means they had bad midos. And maybe the pasuk means Tzedek L'Tzbaruch is trying to super magnify a tiny, tiny, tiny little imperfection in the avos. Look, we have the Ramban. The Ramban says that Avraham Avinu did a very great chait by going down to Mitzrayim. This is a very controversial Ramban. Avraham, there was a famine in the land, so he went to Mitzrayim. The Ramban strongly criticizes Avraham for a lack of faith. How can you leave Eretz Canaan just because there's a famine to go down to Egypt? And that's why Sarah was abducted. So that's the Ramban. The Ramban is coming to highlight minor imperfections in the Avos. The pasuk here says, Leich Emor Lehem LeYisrael. The Hashem says to Yechezkel, go to Klal Yisrael, Avicho HaEmori, which refers to, well, I should know, it doesn't really refer to, according to the parish of Rashi in the Gemara. This is the Gemara Masech the Sanhedrin. The Gemara there says, Avicho HaEmori refers to Terach. It means not necessarily Avraham. Avraham, it was a tzaddik, but Avraham comes from Terach. Terach was a bad person, according to the Medrash, was Emor, the Imchachitis. He doesn't explain that means sorry, Nenu. And Omer, when this pasuk was said, the Gemara goes on to say, Omer Ruach Piskonis. I told you Michal, I made a mistake, it's the Malach Gavriel. The Malach Gavriel, which is also called Miskonis, said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Im Yovohu Avraham V'Sara V'Yamdu Lefanecha, if I would bring in here, to this location, Avraham and Sarah, Ato Oimer Lohem, would you say such a thing to them in their presence? Avicha Haimori V'Im Chachitis, would you dare say such a thing in their presence? How dare you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And then the Malach Gavriel said this pasuk, Rivcha Riv Esrayecha, fight with your friend, V'soid Acher Al Tigol. You want to give them Musar, give them Musar, but don't bring Avraham Avinu into this, don't bring them into this quarrel. Okay, and then the Gemara goes on to explain that this Piska, in this expression over here, refers to Gavriel, proves that's another issue, we'll leave that out for now. Okay, now there's another important halachic matter that the Gemara derives from this pasuk, and that it refers to gerim, and it refers to balei tshuva, that a person should never remind a bal tshuva of his previous sins. When you have a problem with a person, and you take him to Beis Din, rivcha riv esreyecha, v'sod acher al tagol, don't reveal his prior sins. The sins he committed when he was not yet religious, or the sins he did when he was not yet Jewish. That's the second inyan. And the third very important inyan, this is actually a very big debate in the Poskim, is a person does an Aveira, and on Yom Kippur comes, and he does tshuva with a full heart, the best they can possibly do, he claps al chait, he says the sin that he has done, he does tshuva, should he do tshuva for that same sin the following year? So this is a machlokes, should a person perpetually for the remainder of his life do tshuva for sins that he's done in the past, which already he has done tshuva. A person does a terrible avera, he feels terrible, it comes Yom Narohim, he does tshuva, and that's it. Let bygones be bygones. And now it's 2 years later, and he's in Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur. And he remembers, I remember 2 years ago I did this avera, I did tshuva, should I nochmal, should I klap, should I express the sin again? So some say, no, you should not. Once you've done it once, it's enough. A person goes back to his old sins like a person who eats his vomit. Person eats and he vomits food and he eats up what he has vomited. It's disgusting. The same thing once a person does tshuva, it's not proper for him to be misvada over that old sin. And we learn that from this very pasuk that rivcha riv esrei echa. Echa over here may mean with the Yetzirah. Your friend, the Yetzirah, is trying to get you to commit averos. You want to fight with him, you want to do tshuva, do tshuva. But the sodacher al tigol, but what's not relevant to this year, don't reveal. Don't reveal the sins you've committed in the past. Okay.
Juvenile,
they seal the records. You're not allowed to be megala all sins, so it should not affect the mindset of the jury or the judge. It's no one's business. Exactly what it says.
You do mention
in Russia, in Echanami, in Echanami. Okay, now there is one other. I saw this over here in the Sefer, the Das Divrei Chacham. He mentions this famous story that we've quoted with Avraham and Sarah, And just to touch upon the Rashi Parakim, when he wants to suggest that Yecheskel, there was a disagreement between Yecheskel and Moshe Rabbeinu. This is just Rashi Parakim. Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did say this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did indeed say that your father is an Amori and your mother is a Chitis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was insulting Klal Yisrael by referring to their parents. The truth is, this is the pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk says, "Poiked av avoin avos albanim al bnei banim v'al al shileishim v'al ribeim." The pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the children for the sins of their forefathers down four generations. Now the Gemara is the obvious kasha, but it says elsewhere, "Lo yumsu avos." The pasuk says, on the other hand, that a child is not punished for the sins of his father, and a father is not punished for the sins of a child. So how do we reconcile this contradiction? Is a child punished for the sins of his forefathers? The Gemara answers, if a child continues to do the same averos as his forefathers have taught him, they have paved the way to do a particular sin, and the children continue to do this sin, then the subsequent generations are subject to be punished for the sins of their forefathers. But if a person does a sin, he's independent, nothing to do with his forefather, he does a sin, and his forefather did an avera, and the child did not do an avera, he did tshuva, he's good, he's a tzaddik, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never punish a child for the sins of their forefathers. That's how the Gemara learns the answer to the contradiction. Some want to suggest that Yecheskel, in these psukim in Yecheskel, this whole medrash that we've quoted over here is coming to disagree, or coming to argue that this should no longer be practiced. That since Niskatnu Hadaros, Klal Yisrael have now gone into a matziv of Golus, Niskatnu Hadaros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not hold children responsible for the sins of their forefathers, even if they are this may be something that may be fair and true when Klal Yisrael is holding on a very high spiritual level. They're tzaddikim, they're living in Eretz Yisrael, and there's a grandfather that has done a terrible avera. He has influenced his children, grandchildren, to do the avera as well. So then we can say, listen, the children, they're continuing in the ways of their evil grandfather, they are going to be punished for the sins of their grandfather in addition to their own sins. But bizman hazeh, when we were in Golis, and niskatnu hadoros, Yecheskel, or the Malach, this pasuk here in Mishlei, based upon the interpretation of the Medrash, where the Malach Arvil is telling Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's no longer fair anymore. It's no longer fair to judge Klal Yisrael with this high standard that you can say to them, your father was an Amori and your mother was a Chitis, and therefore I'm going to punish Klal Yisrael for the minor imperfections in Avraham and Terach, in Sarah, in Sarah's mother, whatever it was, because you are Oichazim b'masa yedehem. The Malach Avril says, not anymore. Not anymore. We're already holding you over here by the Chum Bayis Rishain. The Bayis was Chorav. Klal Yisrael are very weak. And it's not fair. Hold them responsible for their own personal sins. Don't bring upon them the punishment for minor imperfections of their forefathers. So that's a very interesting look at how we can explain why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did say this pasuk, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying this pasuk from the perspective of the Torah, of Midas Hadin, of where it says, the Poiked Avoin Ovos Albanim Al Bnei Banim Al Shleshim V'Al Ribeim, verse Lo Yumsu Ovos. To what it says here in the pasuk, Hashem, enough. Riv chariv, just deal with the situation at hand. V'soyracher al tigol, don't deal with the previous generation at all, even if the children are holding on to the sins of their forefathers. We're on such a low, weak spiritual level, we're not responsible for anything. Anything. Just hold us responsible for what we've done. Don't go and bring in a previous generation into the equation. Okay.
Naturally, Robert L. says it's a very simple answer. It's not a paradox, because the pasuk of Poked Avon Avos Al Bonim V'Al Bnei Bonim is only by Avodah Zarah.
Uh-huh.
That's where it is in the Aseret Sedekot.
But when it comes to other sins,
it's in the right after Avodah Zarah, so that's the only thing you're talking about.
You can't expend more than that.
That's true.
Okay, very good.
The reason Mishka is saying you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're not going to win a fight.
It's not relevant. No, you're not going to win. It's not relevant. It's not relevant. This is not relevant. This is
so
not relevant.
So Abdul HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a non-relevant argument?
HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Medrash, according to the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Hashem is telling Klal Yisrael, I'm going to punish you for your sins, and I'm also going to punish you for the sins of your forefathers.
Right, but that's what he wanted him to do.
Paikade Avoin Avos Albanim. Right. So but the Malach, the Pasik, the Malach Gavriel says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this Pasik, Ribbono Shel Olam, how dare you? How dare you go and mention the sins of their forefathers? If you would bring the forefathers in front of you, in front of us now, would you have the chutzpah to say it in front of them? You wouldn't. So just because they're not here, you can't say it either. But he's asking a very good question here in the Divrei Chachamim. But what do you mean? The Pasik says you should do this. The Pasik says, Paikade Avoin Avos, Hashem is right. So he explains, it may be correct for the Dar HaMidbar, the Dar Dea, they are held to a higher standard, but we are not held to that high standard. Even if we are sinning because of the influence of our forefathers, it's not fair that we should be punished for their sins. We should be punished for our sins. That's enough, more than enough.
So that's the answer. So if someone brings in an irrelevant attacks your parents, you say, I have nothing to do with
exactly.
that.
Exactly. I'm not responsible.
Right.
I'm not responsible. It's a very interesting approach. You don't hear this. You don't come across this idea. All right, let's now, Pasuk Yud is a continuation. Pasuk Yud says, what will be the consequence of making false accusations? What will be the consequence of bringing into the picture, into the argument, things that are not relevant? Being Megala, revealing secrets that are not relevant to the case at hand. Pen Yichasedcha Shoimeya. You will be disgraced. The word chesed hu is said in reference to incest. If a man lives with his sister, a person should not take his sister. Chesed he. It's called a chesed. Chesed means it's an abomination. It's an even stronger word than a to'eva. Possibly the strongest word for abomination in the Torah is the word chesed. The word is the word chait, avon pesha. Those are three very strong words. Chet avon pesha. One is a sin that's done inadvertently. Chet avon is something that's done willingly. Pesha is a sin that's done with rebellion. Lahachas. Then there's a to'eva. To'eva is an abomination, which is even a stronger form. And chesed. Chesed appears to be the worst type of the most severe form of expression. And here it's been used in that fashion. Pen yichasedcha shoimeya. The one that hears you make false accusations or bring into this dispute irrelevant material will put you to shame. And not only will he put you to shame, he will really put you to shame with this very powerful term called chesed. V'diboscho lo sashuv, and you will have nothing what to say. Your words will not, you will not be able to take back your words. Be careful what comes out of your mouth, because you can never take back what comes out of your mouth. How many people, this is true for many people, you can look at a person, go look around the room, and you can remember every insult they ever said to you in entire life. Compliments? You don't remember. You look at a person, tell me the compliments, tell me the good words you said to me. You'll break your head for weeks, so you won't remember, even though he may have said to you hundreds of things. It's hard to remember all the good, all the kind words, the compliments. But the few words of insult that your friend has said, that you'll remember forever. Why? Because it's true. And the truth hurts. Compliments usually are just flattery. It's not real. So it's not real, it doesn't stick. You can't take your words back. One should be very careful what comes out of his mouth. Vidi bascha, your dibur, lo sashuv, cannot be returned. And thus, one will have to suffer the chesed, the disgrace for insulting, making false accusations, or bringing into the argument irrelevant material, derogatory material. Pasuk Yud in the Mitzvah Stavid, pen yichasedcha, pen kol hashomea, anyone that hears you say these ugly words, yicharpecha, will disgrace you, will disparage you, likrois l'chaholich rachel, to call you a hoilech rachel, a tail bearer. Interesting, sometimes we get all worked up. This has happened to me many times. Get all worked up, and you say nasty things, and you insult people, and you say, and you behave in a certain way, and then time passes, and you cool down, and then you watch someone do exactly what you have done a year ago, 2 years ago, and he says it a completely different dispute. So two people get into a fight, and you hear one person privately, quietly, bitter, and he complains, and he says nasty things. And it always hit me, wow, I did this. It's disgusting. It's so unbefitting. It's so low class to talk like that. Okay, you have a problem, you have a dispute, you don't get along, but, you know, be a dignified person, just keep it to yourself. It's not going to help. And when you're in it, you don't realize what you're doing. But when you're not in it and you're an observer watching someone else having the same type of dispute, then you can really see how ugly, how disgraceful it is. Can we have vidibascha? The next words of the Mesudah Stavit, vidibascha loy soshuv hadav asher hoitzes mipicha lo sucha lechashuv achar. The words that have come out of your mouth cannot be returned. Vidischarit velo sucha lesakin, you will have charata and will be nothing you can do to rectify the situation. Rashi pen yichasetcha. What does the word yichasedcha mean? Cherpas Mitzrayim. It's a pasuk in Yoshua, the disgrace of Egypt. Mitargeminon chasudo de Mitzrayim, the disgrace of the Egyptians. Pen yichasedcha hashemeya, the one that listens will hear what you have said. The yikro acha motzi diba, and will call you a person who is Motze Dibara, a talebearer. Okay, let's go. No, that's just an example. I don't know what the context there is. That's maybe the Ori of the Zara, that's a different kind. But the word Chaselcha means a disgrace. It's a disgraceful expression.
Dibara is always
Ra. It's always a Dibara. Dibara is always a word that's used in reference to. Okay. Okay, now there is just one interesting medrash. Al Teitse Loriv Maher. Okay, let's just go back to the previous pasuk test. There's a very interesting back all the way back to. This is a scary pasuk. I know we have some rabbanim in attendance, so I don't mean this to be taken personally. you'll forgive me in advance. I'll tell you this medrash. Al Teitse Loriv Maher. The medrash. Don't read the word Loriv, rather read Lorav. Lorav. Don't seek rabbanus. That's what it says. Don't enter. It doesn't say that don't seek Rabbanus. Don't enter into Rabbanus prematurely. You have to be properly trained. Kol osa yofe bi'ito. Everything is running in the proper time. But a person that is not yet ready to enter into a position of authority, don't rush into it because you'll make mistakes. The mistakes are going to be pen matase be'acharisa be'achlim oischareyacha. According to the Medrash, they will ask you halachic questions and you will not know the answer. You will be put to shame, or you'll issue the wrong halacha. You'll be put to shame, you'll be discredited. It'll be a mu'uvus she'enu yochal liskol. Therefore, before you send out your resume for Rabbanus, make sure you have the skills you need to succeed. That's what it says.
You're asking, well, my father did this, and then the next guy will say, your father.
That's why.
Okay, I'll read you the words of this Psikto Rabosi. Al Teitse Loriv Maher Lorav Ksiv. Don't read it Loriv to quarrel, but read it Lorav. Don't attempt to enter into the field of Rabbanus swiftly, prematurely. Rabbi Menachama Bar Yaakov, Emerli Olam Al Tihi Rots Achar Hasrara. Don't run, seek Srara. Here it means prematurely. Why? Blama. Pen matase ba'achrisa be'achlim oschareyecha. What do those last words of the pasuk mean? Lemachar ba'im v'she'alim l'chosh she'elos. Tomorrow they'll come ask you halachic questions. Mo'ata mishivam. And if you are not fully prepared, what are you going to answer? V'nimsa mitzbayesh, and you will be put to shame. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Gidal. What?
That's why it says,
but
the rav.
And the rav will.
Don't
go too close. Okay, a lot of rabbi jokes.
Yeah.
Pasik Yud Aleph Tapuche Zahav Bimaskiyos Kosef Dovor Dovur Al Ofnov. A matter, we have to read the Pasik backwards. A Dovor Dovur Al Ofnov. Ofnov means in the proper place and time. The word Ofnov, there is a machlokes between Rashi and the Mitzudos if the word Ofnov means a wheel or it means a setting, a base, a foundation. But it basically means it means a symbol. We'll just translate it now just in this sort of abstract form, and we'll explain the details in a few moments. But basically something that is said in something proper, something befitting, something words of chokhmah that are said in the right place at the right time to the right audience is equivalent to the most beautiful form of jewelry. Okay, here we are describing jewelry that's both gold and silver. It appears there's gold jewelry and there's silver jewelry. Each one has milas. Each one creates a different impression. But the most exotic form of jewelry is the combination of gold and silver. And the example given here, it's gold against a backdrop of silver. Silver is the backdrop. That's called the maskios. Maskios comes from the word schach. Interchange the sin with a samach. So it's schach. Schach means shelter. So it's a plate. A plate or some type of base. A base or a setting of silver, kosef, and it's studded with Tapuche zahav. A tapuach is an apple, but in this context it means some type of a design, a ball, a stud, some type of protrusion of gold. Gold balls on a setting of silver. What? Tapuach on the Mizbech of Esh. Tapuach is a mound. It's a mound. Some type of ball, a design that is put into a setting of silver. In other words, it's the most exotic, exquisite piece of jewelry. This is a mashal for words of wisdom uttered in the right place and the right time. A rabbi can have a most wonderful drasha, but it's not necessarily proper for a particular audience. You have to know the first rule of public speaking is know your audience. You have to know to whom you're speaking. You have to know their frame of mind. You have to know what they want to hear, what's going to inspire them. Something that is said in the right place, in the right time, is equivalent to a beautiful piece of jewelry. I think the mashal over here is deeper because in this piece of jewelry there is a beautiful ball of gold. But the beauty of the gold is only enhanced against the proper setting of silver. So the words of wisdom are compared to gold. But the gold is only enhanced, it's only expressed, brought out, the beauty of the gold, the words, only brought out in the proper setting. And the proper setting is the proper place, the proper audience, the proper time, proper environment. So this is what the pasuk over here says. Ofnav means very simply in the very ofnav meloshen oifan agol, according to the mitzvah, means a wheel. Now wheel, he's going to really say a different interpretation. We'll see in the mitzvahs in a moment. All right, let's look at the mitzvahs right away. What this means? Tapuche
the
Apple Watch. That was yesterday's news, right?
Right.
The Apple Watch.
And they have one version that's gold, 18 karat.
Real gold. What does it do, the Apple Watch? Takes your temperature.
Except it doesn't tell time.
What? It buzzes when you get a text, right?
Well, yeah.
It checks your heart.
Connected to your iPhone.
To your iPhone. Smart wearables, the new thing, the future, the wearables. Okay, let's take a look over here at the Mitzudos. Tapuche Zav. It's fascinating. It's Hashkocha that we're learning this pasuk today. Hashkocha brought this. The Tapuche, an apple of gold. Kmo Tsiyore Tapuche, it's an image. A Tsiyor of an apple, Zav, Hachakukim, which is etched al Michsa Shel Kesef on a plate, on a covering, a setting of silver. Shehu Davar Mefor, it is stunning. It is exquisite. Cain, this is a marshal for Dover Hamidubar al-Ofanov. Now, what does the mean Ofanov? What does that funny word mean? Rotzolaymar, Dover Horohui le'inyanoi. Something that is fit
for the inyan, for the topic. The chazeres elof ka'ifan, and it comes back to it. I'm not exactly sure what he means in these words. Ka'ifan huaga, like the wheel of a wagon. Hamaskalgil v'chazel l'makoymoy, which cycles. A wheel, no matter how you look at it, there's something there for everyone. But it means that the words have an appeal for everyone. Just like a wheel, it turns, and every part of the wheel has an opportunity to accomplish. The wheel turns, and every part of the wheel is functional, is being used. Words of wisdom have many applications. Every way you analyze these words, there's something positive, there's something to be gained by listening and studying what has been said, equivalent to a wheel which is circular, which from all sides has a function and has a role. Something along those lines. That's how the Mesudas learns. Rashi is a little bit different. Rashi Pasuk Yidalev says, Tapuche Zav Ke'en Kaftarin Mitsuyarim. Similar idea. It's a kaftar. Kaftar is a knob. On the menorah there are knobs. There are these balls. Basically a ball. A ball. Buttons. But the kaftar where the branches separated, there are these balls, whatever they are. So it's a similar idea. Ke'en Kaftarin Mitsuyarim Al Maskiyos Kesef. What are maskios? Rashi explains, maskios are kelim hamitsubim bekesef, utensils that are plated with silver. Kemovis sakosi chapi, I will cover you with my hand. I will shelter you. I will shelter you with my calf. Similar, so it's dover al ofnav. What does the word ofnav? So Rashi is learning not like the mitsudos, al kano, upon its base. Upon words said in the proper setting, in the proper environment, on its space. V'dugmos, he quotes some psukim I'm not familiar with, Nasasi imicha afuna. Okay, I'm not sure what that means there. Mivoiseses umiyosheves bekirbi. It's established. It's mivuseses. There's a strong foundation. There's a base, and there's a foundation. The kibi within me. The ein zepirit. And then Rashi now comes to reject what the Mitsudo said. The ein ze migizras oifon the gilgal. This does not mean a wheel. Does not like that interpretation. Shilu came. If that was really what the possibility, it should not say ofna, but should say. I should say it with she'ilu kein hoyinokud patach tachasape. It should have a patach al afanov, not ofnov. Ofanov kemo hoifanim, like the malachim are called the oifanim. V'lo yipol bo nikudas chatav kamatz, and the chatav kamatz we have over here is ofnov. The shva, sometimes a shva is what the Rashi calls a chatav kamatz, because a chatav kamatz, when you have a kamatz with two dots, it's pronounced often like a shva, like a shva. And that's why many times in Chumash, it's very confusing, many times in Chumash, there are different Chumashim, sometimes instead of a shva, it has a chat of kamatz. One very confusing place is Ushakoli bini. Yitzchak says to Yaakov, kiss me. So if you look in half of the Chumashim, it's a chat of kamatz. Ushaka, under the shin. Under the shin, ushaka, it's a chat of kamatz, and a half of kamashim is a shva. Ushaka. So whatever you do, you're always going to have someone in the audience, if they're listening very carefully, is going to correct you. Is it ushaka? Or ushaka, whatever. But that, so this is something where over here you see that illustrated here in this Rashi here says that the word over here ofna really should have a chat of kamatz equivalent to a shva. Okay, one thing just comes to mind. Right out of time, one thing just comes to mind. I want to point out that this pasuk parallels. I don't have an explanation. I just want to bring out this point that there's a very famous pasuk in Shir Hashirim, which is the reverse, and the pasuk Shir Hashirim says, Ture Zohav Naselach in Nikudo Sakesef. And it appears that pasuk is just the opposite of this pasuk. Because there it says Nikudos means, Ture. A Ture means a bar or a plate. Ture Zohav, a plate of gold, we will make for you Hashem with dots of silver. So you have to study the pasuk, but it would appear that the setting. In Shir HaShirim, the plate, the setting is gold, and what protrudes above the design is silver. And here it's just the opposite. Here it's very clear. The maskios is silver. The plate, the setting, the base is silver. And what protrudes is gold.
So it's talking about the spiritual.
Okay, so you want to say they're referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're referring to Anna. When we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then we... Okay, you have to... you work it out. But generally, why do we, what does it mean, the combination of gold and silver? I'll tell you a word in that pasuk. Maybe that will shed some light in this pasuk. Gold generally in Chazal represents Midas Hadin. Silver represents Midas Harachamim. Kesef comes from the word Kisufim. In Aramaic, Kesef is related to yearning. Yearning is an expression of love. Kesef is Kisufim. Zahav has a reddish color. True gold has a reddish hue, which red always represents Midas Hadin. So when Chazal want to describe Din, they describe it in terms of gold. In the Kelim of the Beis Hamikdash, things that are gold represent din. Things that are silver represent rachamim. When you combine together gold and silver, it is the combination of midas hadin with midas harachamim. B'yom b'ro Hashem Elokim es ha-shamayim v'es haaretz. When Hashem created the world, He wanted to create the world with gold. He saw the world cannot exist, so He was mishtatef rachamim. Sometimes you need more rachamim than din. The rachamim has to be goiver over din. But sometimes, no. Sometimes we're deserving, when we reach a very exalted level of spirituality, we are deserving of reward al-lefi midas hadin. So just as an interesting point, we have a pasuk in Mishlei, a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. They appear to be saying the same idea. Jewelry which combines gold and silver, midas hadin, midas harachamim. It would appear on a very simple level that these two psukim are describing opposite spectrums. Which one is the ikur? Which one is the tafel? In Shir HaShirim, the ikur is turei zav. The ikur is the gold. The gold is the foundation, and the silver is little speckles of rachamim. Here it seems to be saying just the opposite. The ikur is the silver, rachamim, with a little bit of din sprinkled on top of it.
Okay. This is also what you're saying. Most of your argument is right. It's just you have a little bit
over here. It's a little bit of din. Most of it is rachamim. Tapuche zav b'maskios kesef. The foundation is rachamim. A person should live with rachamim, but you have to have a little bit of gold, a little bit of din, a little bit of din, a little bit of musar. That is something which is beautiful. Derech agav there. There's a very beautiful var. There it says ture zav naselach im nekudos hakesef. By the way, Nekudas HaKesef is a very famous sefer on Shulchan Aruch, Nekudas HaKesef. But Zohav, what are the vowels for the word Zohav? A Dobal Komatz. What does Komatz mean? To close, Kmitza. What are the Nekudas for silver, Kesef? A Segel, three dots. What does Segel mean? The Yisemli Sigula. Some of the Hasidim, they're very makbet to say Mashiv Haruach Amorid Hageshem. Why? This could be total nonsense, but it says this. So a lot of times, because how could Geshem is kula bracha? How could you say Geshem with a double komatz? Komatz means to be stingy. You want Hashem only to give you a small amount of rain. You want a shefa. You want segula. The Geshem should be a treasure of Geshem, not komatz, stinginess. So you should say Ma'ashev Ruach Amorin HaGeshem with a double segol, instead of saying Ma'ashev Ruach Amorin HaGosham Goshem Goshem, which has a komatz which connotes stinginess. Okay, that doesn't have any weight. That doesn't have any weight on what the halach is. Rav Moshe says you say Goshem. Okay, that's just the horror. But I saw in the sefer the beautiful idea that then we will look at gold. Gold is pronounced Zohav. Zohav is komatz. Midas hadin. We only want a small amount of midas hadin. We mean mevakesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not too much gold. Gold is din. Gold has a reddish color. It's din. Komatz. Zohav. Be memayet in midas hadin. Kesef represents the concept of rachamim. Kesef comes from the word kisufim. Segula, rachamim is a treasure. But le'osilovai, when Mashiach will come and we will be raised to an exalted level of spirituality, then turei zohav naselach, we will make for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an ornament, a jewelry of gold, turei zohav, in nekudos hakesef. Instead of pronouncing it zohav, we will pronounce it zehev. Zehev, says Hashem Chazal, that la'osilova, we're not going to call gold zohav, we're going to pronounce gold zehev. Turei zohav nasilach with the nekudos of kesef zehev. Why? Because then midas hadin will be a segula. We will be worthy of midas hadin because we will have uplifted ourselves spiritually to that exalted madrega. He doesn't say that in this pasuk over here, but this pasuk says tapuche zav, apples of gold, bimaskios kosef, dover dover al ofnov, a word in the right setting, the right place and time is golden, right? There are certain, there's an English expression for this, golden something about
silence
is golden, but there's also something the right words in the right place in the right time can accomplish great things. Okay, we will stop over here.